Morning, everybody. Oh, it's such a great, I am so happy to be here. So happy to be here with my New York family. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so grateful. What a great new layout we have here, too. I've never seen this place, and I had a struggle going up those steps, probably because I'm not used to them, you know. But oh, I am so grateful to see you all in the past 2 years. It has been a journey. It has been a journey for us all. And God has been so faithful. God has been so faithful in every season of our lives. And just before I start, I just want to thank you all for all your prayers, all your financial support. I never asked, I never begged for anything, but you all knew that I was in need, and you gave. And the Lord has seen that. And I am here hoping to give something to you as well. You have encouraged my faith, and I'd love to encourage yours. I'd love to encourage yours. And I just want to honor, first of all, my dad over there in the back. Come on, somebody. Love you. And I want to honor Pastor Tim here for letting me share with you all today before we get started. And he has been so good. And the hardest times, his cross is becoming more louder than ever before. And he is speaking, come to me. Trust in me. Hold on to me. Hold on to every word. Father God, I pray that every word that is spoken here, that every heart would hold on to your promises. That we would stand in faith and trust in you in the midst of it all and through it all, Lord. You have been the one who has held us all together for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on to every word. 30 years ago, there was a church that held on to a word. There was a baby who was suffering, about to die. And they saw a scripture that lit up in Deuteronomy, I believe. Now I set before you curses and blessings, life or death. Now choose life so your children can live. You were that congregation. And I was that child. And because of your faith, because you held on to that word, I'm alive today because of that. And then the Lord gave me a word. Without me even looking for him. And he said, my word is not finished yet. As I went to that Niagara conference 14 years ago, I saw a woman who was healed of my same disability. She was in a wheelchair, lame and everything, and God completely healed her. And I heard the Lord speak to me for the first time in my life. Matt, I healed you at birth. I'm not done with your life yet. I'm going to complete it. And I've held on to that word ever since. And then after high school, the Lord called me to Texas, to Christ for the Nations Institute, which was a launching pad for me. And even then, the Lord kept confirming that promise. Students came to me saying, Matt, I had a dream last night that you were healed. Matt, I had a dream last night that you were healed. Matt, I had a dream last night that you were healed. I don't know who you are, but I had a dream last night that you were healed. Holding on to every word. And then God sent me back here for a time where the Lord actually gave me a dream. He speaks to me in dreams. Any dreamers out here? Come on, somebody. And he gave me a dream where I saw Dutch Sheets, who was the institute director at my school, and I was telling his wife that I was in a waiting season like Dutch. So the Lord was confirming to me that, okay, in this season, the Lord is bringing me into a waiting season where I prepped home foreclosure loans for about a good 5 years and got to bless you guys and serve you guys and just join in fellowship and community and relationship, which was a beautiful time. A beautiful time. And then, end of December 2018, the Lord started to tell me some more protocols. And he started to tell me move back to Dallas. I had a dream where I saw and knew there was an opportunity coming that had something to do with my school, CFNI, and there was a date, December 13th. I kept writing on this piece of paper, but I kept scribbling out as if I did not want the opportunity. Didn't know what that was about. December 13th came, and it was a day like us, like normal. I'm in the store of Christmas. You know, in the normal day, God can still speak. And I called a friend of mine that day because I was wishing him a happy birthday. And then in the conversation, he was like, have you ever thought of moving back to Dallas at CFNI? And I was like, no. Not at all. Drove back home, and then suddenly the epiphany came. Wow. That was the confirmation for that word. So I took that word, and then January, I put it on the shelf, honestly, because I didn't know what to do with it. The week of my birthday, I asked the Lord you for an open door on my birthday. And January 18th, it was my birthday, and it was January 18th, 2019 at the time. And a friend of mine called, and he's like, when are you moving back to Dallas? And he gave me this word. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 18:19. Oddly, January 18th, 2019. Then I went to a fasting time in February, and I heard the Lord say, you're going there for reconciliation, regeneration, and revelation. And I believe the reconciliation had to do with the reconciliation of the ministry. So he speaks in part, but it's about steps. He speaks in steps. Holding on to every word, every step. And I went to Bethel Christian Fellowship in May. It was May 5th when I was compelled to get prayed for, and that they have this prophetic team. And someone named Rick, he spoke verbatim every word that I had already in my heart for. He said, "I'm going to send you out to a season of acceleration. You're going to learn that you can be independent, and he was accelerating me into a season of independence, and he was preparing me for everything that he was about to call me into. That I hear no word for 9 months, but I held on to that word, and I felt kind of." The following January hits. Then I get a gift from Anthony. Hello, Anthony. He gives me a late Christmas birthday gift. And I think to myself, I wonder if this is a confirmation from the Lord, oddly. I open it up and it's a Christ for the Nations worship CD. That same night I have a dream. I'm at Christ for the Nations with my parents, and Will Ford comes out of the building with a smile on his face, and we hug each other, and I tell him about all these things the Lord has told me about moving to Texas. And he said to me in the dream, "Well, it looks like you are willing to say, 'Here I am, send me.'" Yeah, Will Ford's coming next week, let me tell you. Get ready. He's another dreamer. He's another dreamer. I've been praying for Will Ford to come here for 7 years. And it has come to fruition, and I am looking forward to that. So he confirmed that up to the teeth. And he opened up for me to go in 2020. In the middle of a pandemic. Now you know that's the Lord. God calling you in the middle of a pandemic. And he connected me to a good church down there, Trinity Church in Cedar Hill, Texas. I didn't know much of Trinity Church in Cedar Hill, Texas, but I had a dream. Before I even ever was Trinity, I was at Trinity in this dream, and Gabe Allred was leading worship. He stood in the middle of his worship and he said, "There's ministry opportunity for CFNI alumni in this hour." And then there was a shofar that started blowing in the church, and many people were getting touched by the Lord. So by that word, he sent me to Trinity and got connected with Gabe Allred. He led worship when I was a student at CFNI, and his wife happened to be now the young adult pastor of Trinity at the same time. And the first day I met the young adults night, Pastor Laura is sharing about Rochester. About the Second Great Awakening, which I'm really looking forward to going to see in that documentary today. I know that's coming later for you guys more locally at the end of May, but see, God is in steps. God is in steps. So I connected to that church family. I got to serve in prayer ministry. And I was still waiting on the Lord about finances, you know, provision. And then the Lord gave me this verse in Matthew 20, verse 6 through 7. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." In other words, you focus on the ministry and I'll provide for you. I'll be your worker. I'll be your employee. I mean, your whatever you call it. Diana said it. Hi, Diana. That he was going to be my boss, and he was going to provide for me. Thank you for that word, Diana. That was a word from the Lord. Focus on the field I have for you, and I will provide for you. December came the following year. Well, December came near the end of that year. And I got a checkbook from somebody in this Christmas party gathering for a gift exchange. It was almost like a prophetic gift exchange. The way God speaks. And I got a checkbook, and it said Jeremiah 17:7 on it. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and his hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And God was saying to me, in the next following year, it's going to feel like a drought. But your fruit is going to remain. Feels like right now, huh? We're in that drought. But God is remaining. His word is still true today. And that there's a groaning in the midst of the drought. There's been a groaning in the church like never before for God to move, and he's responding to that cry. There's been a groaning and a hunger with my peers at TYA. There's been a move of God like never before. More of a hunger movement. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We were at a prayer meeting before the prayer service, the young adult service. This doesn't happen. We had a worship playlist set that was recording on the TV as we were praying. And suddenly I heard a sound of rain. Suddenly I saw a flash of lightning and thunder that was echoing from the worship. I was surprised to hear that, not realizing what it was until later during the young adult service. Gabriel Wright goes to the worship team, and they were like, he's like, I want you to play music like rain is coming. And they started playing worship, and they were decreeing that in the time of drought, rain will come. For 13 weeks in the midst of that summer, rain came every Monday night. Not on Tuesday, not on Wednesday. Every Monday from then on. For 13 weeks straight. In the summer at Texas. That doesn't happen. He was responding to that cry that I'm sending the rain. I'm sending rain in the time that there shouldn't be rain. So in the midst of drought, the Lord is going to provide for me. And I was going to remain and bear fruit. I got to connect with the youth for a good semester, to be a youth leader there and minister with them. And all throughout this, again, God still continues to confirm things, like getting a dream, and God in the dream saying, "Don't do that job. Remain where you are." "Okay, Lord." And there's another dream where I was having this post-interview meeting with somebody. I was like, "Don't have the job now." And someone was asking me, "Well, what do you want to do?" I was like, "I'll travel and preach." And he's like, "Well, what would you speak on?" And I'd be like, "Oh, I could speak on anything." And they said in the dream, "Well, what will be your main message?" And I was like, "My testimony." And he asked me, "What's your testimony?" And I was about to share my testimony, but suddenly someone behind me started to choke me and stop me from sharing. And that was then when God started to tell me, "Uncap your voice and start sharing your testimony. Step by step, word by word." That was at the near the end of March. And then one Monday night at the end of March, I was like, "Yeah, let's pray for people. Let's pray for healing for some people, you know, around some of my friends." A friend of mine, Cole, he was going into a doctor's appointment that Wednesday, so we were praying for people for healing. And someone was sharing to me, "Matt, why do I see a vision of you eating ice cream?" And I'm like, "Well, usually there's a meaning behind that." But then I realized, well, the first thing that Marlene Clips wanted to do after she got healed was hold and eat an ice cream cone. And then it occurred to me, wait, what's tonight? And they said, "It's March 29th. 40 years ago that night, Marlene was healed of cerebral palsy. Even in the midst of God, of me waiting on him for provision, God keeps talking to me about my testimony. Acts 3:1-8. I read this one day, and now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I'll give to you." Sorry. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. "Gold and silver I have none, but what I have I'll give to you." I'm praying and meditating on, "Okay, Lord, how are you going to provide?" And he's like, "Gold and silver I have none, but what I have I'll give to you." Sometimes we think what we need, what we how do I put this, Lord? We think we know what we need. But God is saying, I'm going to give you what you really need. I'm not going to give you what you think you need. I'm going to give you what you really need. He's saying that to the church today. I'm not going to give you what you think you need. I'm going to give you what you really need. Then in John 4, the Lord started to confirm things to me again. On Easter Sunday, happened to be April 4th of last year. And he said to me, I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest. He sent me there for the harvest. He sent me there for the discipleship of the next generation. And he sent me there for the building up of the body of Christ. And then right around where God was confirming this to me, he opens up a job. Part-time job, TBN Prayer Call Center. And he gives me this scripture passage, Colossians 4, 1 through 2. I'm telling you, Diane Woodall is prophetic. Employers, treat your workers with equality and justice as you know that you also have a Lord and Master in heaven who is watching you. And then in a life of prayer, it says, be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks to God. Come on, somebody. <laughs> 2020, no job, the Lord provides. 2021, part-time job, the Lord provides. And in the midst of getting this job, the Lord told me, I'll give you this job, but I also want you to go in a 40-day fast. Started April 14th. I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay. So I went through that 40-day fast. And then near at the end of it, it was Pentecost Sunday, the end of May, and I'm asking the Lord, okay, Lord, where's the harvest? I know that you have promised for me. And he said to me, just lean in my love for you, and I'll show you the harvest I have for you. And during that same week, I was meditating on Acts 27, 33 through 34. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. I happened to start the fast April 14th. 14 days was spoken through Acts 27. And he said to me, you're about to go into an Acts 27 storm, but you're not going to lose a hair. And to confirm this word to you, this Sunday, Trinity is going to have communion. So take it for strength. That Sunday, Trinity had communion. Very uncommon to know when they do communion. And he brought me into a storm the whole other way. But if I didn't have this word, I did not hold on to this word, I would not have survived. In the middle of that storm, I happened to be at a youth camp, and a prophet was there, Prophet Sherman Dumas. And he says to me these words, "I see ice cream." You're going into a smooth, sweet season. And I'm laughing, and he doesn't know why I'm laughing. And he's like, ice cream, we all scream for ice cream. He didn't realize that someone there was actually saying that it's going to be like that faith that you're going to receive, that childlike faith that you're going to receive. That night, actually, we went out to ice cream. We went to a gas station, and the line on, there was like a logo in front of the gas station that says, "Where dreams come true." God speaks step by step, word by word. We live, but not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. And then I go through car issues, to another car issue, to another car issue. And I was just, there was one night I was praying to the Lord about holding on to that anchor in the storm. He gave me this verse, Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. "So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness." This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. And we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding on to our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. That night, I'm singing this song about the Lord being my anchor, the Lord is my mercy in the storm, and I get hit by a car, totaled. And in the middle of the accident, you know when cars have to get an estimate done after going through all that? Well, this was the logo on Hebrews 6, 9 through 12, a better estimate. "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Hold on to every word. Hold on to every word. Went to another car accident, well, because of weather. In this other car I had. Now I got a new car. Third car in a row. The Lord is faithful. The Lord provides. Hold on to every word. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I'll give to you." The lame man at the gate of the beautiful, who was healed in Acts 3, was a sign of that restoration of the church. And when I got that first revelation of Acts 3, I was like, God, heal me as a sign that you're restoring your church. His word is not going to fail. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. Some of you all here are battling right now between what you think you need and what you really need. And all you need is Jesus. All you need is His Word. Between what you think you need and what you really need, we must come back to that one thing. To dwell in His house forever. And hang on to His glory. Hang on to His goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. I love ice cream a lot more now. He brought us low so we can build us up again and restore us stronger than ever before. To be that light, to be that city on a hill. It's very interesting that COVID, the symptoms of COVID, you can't taste anything. And he can't smell anything. Those are the two primary symptoms. Could it be a sign that the world has lost its taste and smell of what's good? And they need a light. They need a city on the hill. You are that city. You are that light. Shine! In this time, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is coming, and it's coming increasingly every day in this era. And is coming to those who are hungry. He is coming to those who are open. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. He wants to trade those ashes for beauty. He wants to trade those tears for joy. What you really need. What you really need. I heard the Lord say, when Will Ford and Matt Lockett come, they're going to come with the rod of the Lord. I heard these words, awakening rod. And they will strike the hard rock of racism. They will strike the hard rock of politicalism. And they will strike the hard rock of complacency. And out of the broken heart, out of the open vessel, water shall go forth. Because this is a time of rain when it's not supposed to rain. This is a time of returning to that one thing, returning to the Lord, returning to what's truly beautiful and what's truly good. holding on to every word. Opening up so he could come in. In Jesus' name. So Lord, you see these hearts that are open before you. Would you come down with your rain now, Lord? I thank you, Lord, that you're hearing the cries and the hunger of your people here in Western New York. And you will respond. And I thank you, Lord, that we are living in the time, and it doesn't matter whether it's in Texas or New York, if you're hungry, he's going to fill it. If you're hungry, awakening is surely will be there. I heard a word from the Lord that there's someone here. Could have been Facebook, I don't know. It's Facebook Live. That who's been weeping over their child. But God is going to comfort them. I don't know who that is. But God hears your cry. God hears your cry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are our source. You are our provider. You are our healer in the midst of this pandemic. And your wounds are open wider than ever before. So, Lord, we open up and we receive you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. You have suffered with us. And we are going to be glorified with you. We open up the gate. In the name of Jesus, swing wide, you heavenly gates, and let the King of glory enter. And reign, reign, O Lord, in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Love this guy. Just so proud of him and just how God is working his life. And I've always just said, you know, he's teachable. You know, just about anything, you can tell him anything. And he just receives it. And it's just a humble young man. And just wanting to go after God. And it's just a great encouragement for us, you know, to hear you, to see you. I was talking to Will, actually, about a month ago about, of course, you know, the outreach. And I said, oh, Matt Degnan's coming up. You know, he wanted to be a part of it, you know, kind of attached to the hip, you know, all the stuff that we're going to be doing. And he said, oh, wait till you see Matt. He's grown so much over the last couple of years. And so we're just proud of you. Father, we thank you for this young man and just for his heart for you and just for his faith, Lord. God, it's just, there's a purity about Matt's faith and a simplicity that sometimes escapes us. And we just thank you, Father God, for bringing him here to be in our midst to speak this word of encouragement and exhortation to this church, Lord God. And I just continue, and I pray we would all, you know, just stand in agreement with Matt. He's still believing for that day when everyone will see the manifestation of your complete healing in his body. And we just say, Lord, Do not delay, oh God. Do not delay, Father. We just, we know you have a perfect time, but we would love to see that. And we just want to agree with Matt and with everyone that's standing with him, Lord. And we just thank you for bringing him here. And we love him, Lord. And we know how much you love him infinitely. And we just thank you and just pray that through this week you would work in his life and, you know, just all the catching up with friends and everything and all the things that are going to be going on next weekend. And we just pray that when he leaves back for Texas in another week or so, that he'd just be refreshed and renewed and just even new and stronger vision in his heart. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. And just love on this guy a little bit before you go. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll get that stuff. Don't worry about
it. Okay. Yep. Great job. Thank you.